Some other shit that happened this week. We found Jews crawling underground.
Yo.
What? That's exactly what the situation was.
No, you're right. But
that's exactly what the situation was. Jewish Underground Railroad. You know what I mean? They had it.
I was trying to get to
what is the phrasing of that?
The Hasidic Jews in New York.
I know that I saw him do the quote tweet thing, which was funny, but he actually interviewed him?
Yeah, he interviewed him with his whole family.
Oh, he's on that. He's on that.
No, he's on that raccoon shit. Raccoon timing. No. That nigga's crazy.
That jigaboo timing.
You're wild. Yo, nah, I respect you, RG3, though. Great. Damn, that's the last good quarterback y'all have, for real.
Yeah.
That nigga was really the one, bro, for like half a second. Bit.
Yeah, there we go. Boom. There we go.
Look at us, evenly distributed and shit.
Yeah, people thought RG3 was going to be the GOAT.
I'm excited, though. We got new leadership.
Y'all,
that's new leadership. Y'all, we got the 49ers, nigga.
Yeah, y'all just got to pray. Y'all.
No, it's prayers up, and then we got to get a good quarterback.
I think there's a chance. They're saying that they might, if they keep Justin Fields and y'all get Caleb, it's up. It's up.
And that'll just be like, it'll be beautiful, bro. Bringing Caleb back home.
Do you guys have the second? Yeah. Second pick?
Yeah.
If you're the Bears, do you keep Justin Fields?
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Not at all. Why?
Why?
Because the nigga's bad at football. Let me speak intelligently. Justin Fields is a project quarterback. Caleb Williams is, in all theory, a project quarterback. I'd rather take the project quarterback. I don't have to pay $200 million. You know what I mean? And Justin Fields is up for an extension. Caleb Williams, you kind of reset that clock.
I don't know if Caleb Williams is ready for the NFL, though.
I don't know the NFL is ready for him, bro. That nigga is tough, bro. That nigga is insane, bro. He's tough. I don't like the nigga Drake May. I love the LSU quarterback, Jaden Daniels. He's fast as shit. Really skinny, though. It's on, like, Lamar Jackson timing, though. Mm-hmm. Ooh! Don't let me get into that. This next draft is going to be crazy. Marvin Harrison just declared. They said that. Bro, these niggas are getting bags.
Can I put this down here?
Yeah. There was one of these coaches said that to get a good quarterback in the NCAA right now, you have to pay them at least $1 to $2 million.
Really?
That's like the minimum right now to get it.
Right, because they're making money other places.
Just with NIL money, like there's no more. That's why I think Saban retired. Damn, bro. All the GOATs, bro.
Why do you think he retired? Because he didn't like where it was going?
Yeah, and I don't think that's like what he's really built for. Like, I think he was a really good recruiter in terms of like, I'll get you to the NFL. This is a really pro-style system. And now I think all the best players are like, pro-style system, millions of dollars, I'll go to Texas A&M rather than Alabama to get the money.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
You a plantation owner?
You're crazy. No.
He definitely seems like one.
I don't think Nick Saban's racist. I actually really like Nick Saban. He was out there marching and shit.
He might not. Oh.
With us.
Let me not.
When all this shit was going on with Black Lives Matter.
Not in his bag, bro. He does benefit off the system.
Oh, my God. All of them do.
Right. But you just said he retired because he's not built for this new system.
He's not trying to lie. I'm not doing this.
He's not trying to lie.
All right, Umar. Okay, Umar. That's the narrative you be trying to put on me, bro.
Hey, man.
We can't always start off every episode with Hotel a racial Miles. Yo, what up, y'all? Welcome back to the Stereo Vision Podcast.
Welcome back. Episode 86.
Yes, 86.
Episode 86 coming at you.
Back at it. You know what I'm saying? Here to talk some more shit. You know what I mean?
I'm ready to get spicy.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I guess first
spicy.
And foremost,
we're always ready to get
can
spicy.
We clap it up for Osei? Can we give Osei a standing ovation? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're a music-based podcast. The biggest release of the week was obviously 21 Savage. That nigga's dope or whatever. But behind the scenes, our boy Osei has been running digital for the man, really getting all the shit together, all the shit that you've been seeing. Osei has been a major, major part of that. You want to give us a little bit of background about it? Talk about what you've been going through the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's a lot. No, I've had the privilege of just, like, working on the project and just, like, working hand-in-hand on, like, marketing and rollout strategy, specifically digital. And it's been cool. It's been a learning experience, though. Like, I feel like I have never worked a project like this, and I'm just glad that people are receiving it as well as they are. You know what I mean? Like, it's overwhelmingly positive feedback.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, it's the biggest release so far, right?
Yeah,
the entire of the year.
Yeah, without
a doubt. What's Mr. Savage like?
I've only met him one time. He's cool. He's a cool guy. I feel like he's like, bro, nothing that you wouldn't expect. You
Did
know
he stare
saying?
At you like real menacingly?
Nah, I mean, I feel like most artists I meet are like super just quiet when I first meet them. You know what I'm saying? But everybody's always just like trying to see who you are. You know what I mean? When you meet so many people like that, you don't really know why people are around.
Yeah.
So I'd probably be the same way. I'm just kind of staring, observing, or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But definitely, like, one of the smartest people in the room. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. Like, yeah. I definitely think, like, he's, like, way more, like, strategic than people give him credit for. Even with this rollout, bro, like, this rollout was fucking hilarious.
It was fire. It was really,
it was really, really good.
Yeah. Everything from, you know, the movie trailer to the baby pictures and all that. Like, obviously people give you suggestions and, like, give you feedback and all that, but, like, all that's quarterbacked by him. You know
facts,
what I'm saying?
Facts.
So as somebody that was working the project, what's your favorite track?
I don't know, because I really liked it. I like this project a lot because it's way more R&B leaning and influenced than I think people thought. Like, even the like street records and hip hop records are like, have R&B samples on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the Travis record right now, Nina, is fire.
It's so insane, bro. Oh,
one of the best Travis verses we've heard in years.
Yeah, that felt like vintage
Nina
Trav.
That shit give me amped, bro. That shit hard, bro.
Facts. I like the Burna Boy record. I think that's cool. I obviously, you know, am privy to like the Brent record. Like, that shit's hard too. I think when it comes to like one of the like harder records, it's probably like either Red Rum or Red Sky. I think those are super dope.
I did not like Red Sky. It was the one song on the project that I was like, nope, don't need this.
Bro, it is like some like gamer montage.
I swear to God, that's some Call of Duty ass shit.
I know, bro. Right?
It sounded like the fucking Call Me Revenge or whatever the fuck.
No, I wish that that was the song that they did for the club, to be honest. I feel that like that would have been sick.
And then, but Red Rum was fire, and I like the video. I don't know. I think All of Me also plays for like that hard shit.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing with this project, though, is that like, I haven't had a project in a while where I'm just like flipping through the whole thing. Like, first I was listening front to back, and now I'm just on shuffle. I'm like, I like all of these records in some way or another. I think my least favorite record is a Thug record, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels unfinished, maybe. Yeah,
but I think it's dope that he, you know what I mean, like I kind of said in the reaction, watch that shit. It's good to have the people who actually know Thug, give a fuck about Thug, keeping him relevant, keeping his name in a mix. So,
and I really, I like your perspective about the placement of the tracks and why maybe it was important to get Thug right before Letter to My Brother. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because that was a new perspective we didn't really talk about.
Yeah, I think within the context of the album, it works really well because you have the Thug record and then you have Letter to My Brother, which, like, you know, obviously it could be about anyone, but I really feel like he's speaking to Thug on that. Like, everything specifically that he says in the song feels pointed toward, like, you know, somebody that's close to him that has a lot of influence, that, like, has done things for a lot of people, and they have similar commonalities. I think, obviously, in the current climate, like, he's speaking to Thug or somebody like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Obviously, my opinion, but, you know.
No, I liked it because it definitely did feel pointed. Like, I think we were listening to that, like, who's this about? Mm-hmm. And then we're like, okay, let's not read too deep. It's probably just about somebody he knows. But then, like, he is talking about this person, like you said, flying people out. You know what I mean? Like, kind of running shit. Like, he's obviously is talking about somebody with some serious influence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know. I liked how you tied it together and said maybe at the beginning he was speaking to Gunna, you know, about the whole, like, let's be realistic shit, you know, but then kind of pivoting and talking to Thug.
Yeah.
It just it's definitely interesting.
I think that my biggest takeaway from, like, that song and, like, the whole album is that it's just, this is a real street record coming from a street nigga that's not trying to portray anything he's not, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like everything that he was speaking on, all the emotions and feelings he were talking about, it kind of sheds light on people who are actually from this lifestyle, which was really, really dope to see, because we kind of touched on, it's entertainment for a lot of people. A lot of us kind of listen to this type of shit passively and are like, oh, it's cool to hear the niggas talking about the toting guns and doing all this crazy shit and calling out their ops, but there is a much darker, much more tragic side to all of this life. Like, you still have to go home, and after you run a drill, after you do all this shit, like, you have to live with yourself after this. Mm-hmm. You have to see your homies get locked up for this shit. If you're an OG, you gotta be dealing with telling these young niggas to go do all this crazy shit and crash out, you know? Like,
and that was kind of the outro, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the outro really tied everything together super nicely.
Yeah, this is a good body of work, which I don't always say about 21. I think 21's always going to give you good songs. He's always going to give you a hit or two, but this is a complete body of work. It's a story. It's look into him as a person, you know what I mean? Even down to the R&B influence, because we know that this nigga's an R&B head. Mm-hmm. We seen this nigga singing Destiny's Child on his live and shit, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so he put a little bit of himself into all these tracks, which was really, really cool.
Yeah, I think this album is really important, because I was actually thinking earlier this morning, back to, like, the 2016 XXL Freestyle and all that shit, and you kind of, like, look at who's relevant in that and who's not, and, like, who's grown and who's not. I think Savage and Yachty right now, out of everyone, is probably having the biggest moments, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I do think this shit is cyclical. Like, I think Uzi, you know, even though he's, like, maybe having a difficult time right now, has an opportunity to do similar things, you know? Same with, like, a Kodak, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's their time right now, but I think that class is just super influential when it comes to what's going on in music right now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Did you guys hear that Kodak song on the movie soundtrack? Mm-mm. What movie was it? The Lankeith Stanfield movie?
Book of Clarence.
Yes. I did listen to the soundtrack even after I was hating on
That's
it.
That's what I'm saying. Was it a Jay-Z song on there?
Yeah.
And it with was, D'Angelo?
Yeah. It was. I mean, I forgot it was even playing. It was 9 minutes, bro. And Jay-Z's God. Just like, I didn't give it a very active listen. I got bored. But there's a song with Kodak Black and Doja Cat. And Whoa. It is fire. Really? Like, it's one of the best movie soundtrack songs I've heard in a long time. Because Kodak just, especially when Kodak gets on his, like, political shit, I love that. When Kodak, like, actually adds commentary and, like, is actually saying really smart things about the climate of the country. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, political yak is fire.
The yeah. only Kodak verse that I'm fiending is the one with him and Ye that he previewed
on
yeah. stage. Yeah. It sounded like Bad Bunny was about to come in on that before you shut the track off. That shit sounded insane, bro.
Yak's different.
Yeah, he's always going to deliver.
But taking it back to Savage, I mean, I feel like I sometimes overreact when we're listening to stuff for the first time because mm-hmm. it's so fresh. I'm really into it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're feeding off each other's energy. And during the reaction, we said, you know, this is easily his best body of work. Mm-hmm. And I went back and I really thought about that. And I think it definitely is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think without a doubt it is, because I think the only album that competes with it as a whole body of work is Savage Mode 2 with mm-hmm. Metro Boomin. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can already distinguish songs on this album more than I can on that. Mm-hmm. Like, I like putting Savage Mode 2 on and playing that front to back. It's good. There's, like, no misses, really. It's a really strong project. But honestly, I can't tell the difference between a lot of songs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'll have my two or three favorites, but the rest of it kind of blends together.
I do think that he is showing that he can curate a body of work. Again, even though there are features, he's not relying on them to, like, actually have a strong project. And he's also not relying on, like, Metro Boomin production.
Yeah.
Like, okay. A lot of the songs are not produced by him. You know what I'm saying? And I think, obviously, there's still work to grow in that space, but I think he's showing that he can put together body work that doesn't rely on the features to be successful.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. My favorite. This is probably the best, but this album, Savage Mode, the first one with Metro, this is an incredible 9-song project. Like, the first four are all thumpers, bro. We're really going crazy. These first three are different, bro. No Advance and
No
Heart. You
got to include Savage Mode.
You know, I feel like you have to. That shit is insane, bro. This is a great project.
It's a great project, but it's just so one dimensional.
Yeah, it's very, very,
very one dimensional. The closest thing to Deviation is Ocean Drive, the last song.
Yeah. Right.
Which I really like. But
that's the sound that put him on, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
To be honest. I feel like
that's fire.
He just, I don't know. I think he had, like, dip before that was going off, and then he just doubled down on that song.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm coming with.
No, yeah. It was fire, but I think, like, objectively, this is a way stronger project.
For sure, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You know?
So, besides 21, since we are a music podcast, but I don't think anyone else has really dropped anything of super relevance, what have y'all been, like, listening to kind of keep your music up, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think there was some good stuff this week. Okay. Kali Uchis?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to listen to the album, but this is her Spanish one, right?
Yeah. The track with Peso Pluma is incredible. Awesome. I've been listening to that nonstop. Boldy James and Nicholas Craven dropped an album.
Oh my God.
That I listened to. It definitely felt like a step back from their last project, No Exchange, No Robbery, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Which I really, really enjoyed, but it's still Boldy James rapping on great samples, really mm-hmm. eclectic beats. And then there were some singles too, like the Faye Webster Lil Yachty song. You guys listen to that?
Yeah, no, that shit was dope.
I loved that. I thought that was super, super cool. Yachty has such a distinct voice to the point where, like, the first 2 minutes of the song, he doesn't really have a verse. He's just kind of adding layers to Faye Webster's voice. But it's so, like, obviously him and obviously dope. Like, he just has, like, an aura that when he like adds to anyone's song, it makes it so much better.
I think Faye might have a really big year. I think she has a project coming, but she's someone who I've heard about for like four or five years, like just rumblings about her.
Mm-hmm.
But and like she's obviously a really cool collaborator. She's close with Tyler, Yachty now, we know. But I want to see a full body of work from her. She like her Phoebe Bridger, like all of them in that like weird white girl lane, but like really like good lyrics, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
cool shit. I like Tia Corinne and Lil Tyler. Didn't love Lil Tyler's verse, but
that song to me, that shit was so hard.
Tia Corinne, the vocal that she had on there, her voice was crazy, bruh. I've been listening to that Lil Tecca song Down With Me every fucking day. Yeah, that's cool. Every fucking day, bro. That shit was from December. That nigga has been dropping the best music of his career since the Tech album, bro. This nigga is really, really on one. I like his shit.
We talked on about stream. Yeah, the Tekka shit is fire. We talked about the Tia shit on stream a little bit, but I think that's definitely the pocket she needs to be in. You know, I think we kind of touched on how she's kind of been like a little bit of an outsider, didn't really have like a camp. But I think the La Tyler, Anicia, Caribou, that should be where she exists. Like, it makes perfect sense.
It's, you know, different because I think at first she was almost in that Rico type lane.
Yeah.
And I don't think that she couldn't do it. I just think that that's maybe just not where she shines the most. You know what I mean? Like, when I heard her on Freaky T last year, I was like, okay, you're home now. Like, this is that kind of, I need a little more of that ghetto shit. I need a little bit more of that rap shit. You know what I mean? You don't know. She's really, really dope. Also, Flo Milli is kind of going crazy right now. I didn't watch her Cave episode yet, but
me neither.
I think that she is trying to really, really pop off this year too, because she had that Never Lose Me shit. How do y'all feel about that song?
I think it's cool.
Women love that song. I mean, I like it because, you know, I mean, Ron Artest last year with Babyface and 42 was one of my favorite shits. I'm glad that she shed some light on that.
I mean, yeah, that's like every time it comes on, I get disappointed when she starts rapping because I want it. Bro, Ron Artest?
No,
with Babyface Ray, that shit is insane.
I agree. That's why I'm not so privy to it, because I'm not privy, but like that's why I don't love it, because I'm like, that song already exists.
And it's better. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I know people love the Flo Milli shit and Flo Milli's dope, but Ron Artest, that was one of my favorite songs of the year. I thought that's still one of my favorite Babyface Ray songs.
But Flo Milli needs some shine, though.
For sure.
This is. I'm glad that something is happening for her, because she's super dope.
She's got an album coming, right?
I assume so. But I mean, I think that also that is just like, women love that song. Like, that is their anthem right now, bro. I'm hearing that everywhere on all their little stories and shit. Like, they're going crazy to that. So,
how many women have you surveyed?
Instagram. Whatever I see on Instagram, bro, they love that shit.
Guys, Tizo Touchdown Deluxe album. Third Coast. Have you guys spun it?
I actually haven't yet. Spencer, I've been seeing Third Coast literally everywhere,
though. Bro, it's so good. So good. And now I'm finally picking up that there's like three different sections to the song, and I think they represent the three different coasts, including like Florida. Mm. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I love that song.
What are the three coasts?
I mean, I'm thinking like East Coast,
West Coast, and Florida.
And
coast?
South.
Yeah. Oh, South. Oh, coast.
East, West, and South. But like, I think that is one of his best songs he's ever put out. I think you should strongly listen. I strongly recommend to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Two more. The Black Keys are back. Beautiful People. I really like that song. I'm just always excited for new music from the Black Keys. They're definitely like have been leading the pack in like indie rock for the last like 10 years. Like, they're just goats. And then Hurry Haran, yeah, on and on.
Shout out to God.
I've been listening to that a lot. I'm glad we finally have that on streaming.
Yes, sir, bro.
Big Miles put that record out.
How's it been
since it came out? Like, has it been good reception?
It's been cool. We got a Joey Badass fucked with it.
Nice.
He likes it. That was a really big moment for him. Hurry was excited about that. This is like his first like official like new release. So we just got him in the lab, bro. He's been working, bro. Shouts out to him, bro, because he really, really wants this shit. You know what I mean? It's interesting seeing like a developing artist actually develop in front of your eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a kid who is really not used to this whole spotlight thing, used to the whole artist thing. He's a true creative. So watching him kind of turn into a true artist has been dope, bro. putting in a lot of work. Shout out to him, bro.
When you want to throw shade.
You know what I mean? Little catchy shit. And Mac Ayers. Shout out him. Been bumping that album a lot. Comfortable Enough.
Is that the one that you sent me from last year?
Yeah.
That shit is insane.
It's just been the easiest play for me every single day.
You know what I mean? It's like, so good.
When I wake up and shit, that's some little smooth R&B shit. But yeah, I'm actually happy that we're getting music now. I feel like we're getting back into the flow of shit. You know what I mean? I want more January releases.
Yeah.
Let's do some early shit. Let's get this year started out strong. You know what I mean? The Weeknd might be dropping something. I saw that. Mm-hmm.
I got one more song. Oh my.
This nigga loves hating, bro. I mean, on legends.
He can keep it.
Now you don't like The Weeknd.
I do like The Weeknd. But I'm saying if he's not coming strong.
Pause. Let's just pause that all right there.
I agree.
I need something serious.
Okay. Yeah,
you know what I mean, I feel like his last project was good for sure, but it's just not. He needs to just
come strong,
come a little stronger.
Come with something powerful.
Woo! God damn!
All right, I'm off it.
The Weeknd.
I'm excited for Weeknd.
Don FM was a little bit, of a snooze fest.
Y'all boys hate me. I really don't think y'all gotta go back to that. Yes. Yes, what? I still
name
do slap that shit, bro.
Name three songs right now.
Oh, my God. What's the shit that I love every
day? Oh, he doesn't even have one.
Because now I'm blanking on the one.
Oh, no.
Out of time.
Oh, the massive record. Yep, that everybody knows.
The one with Tyler.
He doesn't even know the Tyler name. And then Tyler's his favorite artist. You don't slap Don FM. Shut up.
Right now. There's too much pressure.
Why would you listen to Don FM when you go listen to After Hours?
Because you can listen to both, and they're not the same album.
After Hours is way better. I'm not disagreeing with you. Eight songs on After Hours? Bro. you got saved by the pause.
Nah, that shit is smooth, bro. But
I got one more on The Weeknd.
I don't need to say nothing. I was trying to be negative.
I got one more song that I wanted to talk about because I know I'm super late to it because it's like number one song on Most Necessary, but I just got on like a couple weeks ago. It's that track Blue Devils by Trap Dicky. Have you guys listened to that?
Nah.
Oh, it came out last August. He's a dude, I think, from South Carolina. He did an On the Block for it, and it's like number one on Most Necessary. And it's some of the hardest shit I've heard. It really got me back. Like, I've kind of moved away from street rap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But this shit is so tough. You guys definitely should listen to that.
Nah, because I haven't clicked on it, but I've seen it on like reports and shit at work. That's...
Okay. It's really, really good. It's really, we'll slap it after this episode for sure.
Okay, bet.
Yeah,
okay,
let's
bet.
Do it.
Kind of going back into 21, I think I had a little bit of experience with this past couple of weeks. But rollouts, man, dropping projects, putting shit out. I think that was what was really, really dope about this is the fucking fake documentary movie shit that we saw. I think the baby pictures on Instagram was cool. For me, I've really been focused on like just like getting him interacting with other accounts and shit like that.
Yeah.
Kind of, how did you approach this rollout as a team, and what do you think made it feel different, feel a little bit more creative?
I think we just communicated a lot about what it was supposed to be and like what the messaging was and like what the music sounded like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what his teams have looked like in the past, but I do think like just from like a label perspective, like we definitely put a lot of effort into just like, yo, like what are we trying to do with this? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, again, a lot of the ideas are coming from him directly. Mm-hmm. So we're just able to like amplify them and like actually produce them in a way that makes sense. Like obviously the trailer, you know what I'm saying? There's obviously some like production money behind that. We're able to like go in and like take his ideas and bring them to life, you know? And I think it's also too, it's super clear, especially like, maybe it's, you know, off of the Drake project and shit, but it's super clear that he's like really trying to win. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are some things that he's doing, like he's posting a lot on social media. Like, he's not really like a social media type personality. Again, like obviously met him one time, but that's something you could tell just from interviews and like all that different shit. Like, it's, he's super leaned in, and I think that's what's making this like dope. There's a lot of communication between like us and like management and him and his direct team, which is super dope.
I think like it's cool to see because I think we're at like different ends of the spectrum with who we were dealing with. And I think when you're a bigger artist, I think a big part of your rollouts is kind of adding layers to the story that maybe people haven't always seen. You know what I mean? I think that it was a clear focus of this to like humanize him a lot. Like all of this from the beginning to the end, really let me see a little bit more of his personality. It almost made me realize that this could be a funny nigga. You know what I mean? Maybe he's not just this angry ass nigga that's in his Spotify profile picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is kind of a funny, like fun loving person. He's a real human being, just like any of us. You know what I mean? And I think from all angles, you guys really, really kind of focused on that. And I think that is what made me at least receive the album a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Even in the trailer, like, he puts his family in there. He puts his mom and his kids.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the trailer, like, whatever you think of it, does to me come off a little, like, satirical as well, which shows a sense of humor. But also, like, there's always a focus on highlighting Black creatives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he put Caleb in the trailer. Obviously, he has the relationship with Donald Glover. Mm-hmm. You see Drewski in there. You see a whole bunch of people that are, like, prominent and doing their thing in Black Hollywood, and he's taking the time to highlight that. I don't know if that was really even caught by people, but that's a big part of the rollout.
That shit was hilarious, bro. That shit was, like, the most high-profile Tubi movie ever. Is how I was looking, bro.
That's what the comments were saying. I was like, this is really funny. Like,
that shit was good, though.
Yeah.
That was dope. The nigga got on. I swear. I really do like his lives, bro. I really do like this nigga's lives.
Yeah.
I love how 21 really loves his braids, too.
Yeah, he shouted them out.
Loves his braids, bro. That nigga, he said he's done with the sister locks.
Yeah.
That was fire,
true
though.
True R&B head, bro.
A little bit.
What are some, like, really memorable rollouts for you guys just as fans? Oof. Like, in your lifetime?
I feel like this one has been a big one. I feel like DS Forever, because I was also a part of that, like, was big too. Just, like, from a cultural perspective, like, we had the whole world talking about, like, Pushing P, even though people didn't even know what the fuck that meant. And the P emoji was everywhere. Like, I think when you can, like, get people, like, the baby picture thing, I think when you can get people involved in, like, you know, in the rollout itself, that's when it's impactful. Yeah. Obviously, those are more just, like, internet-based things. There's probably other rollouts that are actually, like, super dope that aren't super internet-focused, but that's where I come from, so.
I mean, Kanye is just first and foremost, even though I can't tell if they're good or awful.
They're good, bro.
Kanye
they work.
Rollouts.
I mean, that's the first one that comes to mind for me is Yeezus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Playing New Slaves in fucking New York Times Square, bro. What? And just that. Yeah, no. The Yeezus rollout is the first one that comes to mind because I was so young, I wasn't really familiar with rollouts or like marketing at all. I was 13, but I was like, the fuck is he doing, bro? Yeah. What am I hearing?
The best part about Kanye, too, is all his rollouts are like multi-layered, right? Like, Kanye will be dropping music and then also be dropping a clothing line, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or a new pair of Yeezys or something. Like, it's like he comes from an angle where it's like his whole life is the rollout. Like, you are experiencing him going through divorce and like trying to figure out fatherhood.
Rolling out your divorce is crazy.
I mean, it definitely is crazy, but that's what it feels like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even right now, like, you know, I don't know exactly. Damn, this is.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, scoot in a little bit. Also, there you go.
God, y'all be beating the fuck out of that.
All right, we back, but yeah, rolling out your divorce is crazy. But okay, let's go back to Donda, right? Okay. Like, Donda, you're having the stadium tour, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, I'm gonna drop it, but I'm gonna A/B test it in the stadium first, and then I didn't like how it sounded or how the crowd reacted. Fuck it, we're gonna do another stadium and it's gonna change.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Also dropping clothing lines, also Turbulent Time with Kim. You know, it is crazy, and that's why
they got remarried in the middle of the shit.
Yeah. He's a little bit different. I don't know if everyone should be on that type of time, but I think when your art imitates your life and vice versa, and the audience can't even really tell what's part of it and not, those are the ultimate rollouts.
No, yeah, I mean, you damn near have to shout out the woman who kind of killed the shit with Beyonce, because I feel like our whole generation has been kind of based off when she shock dropped her self-titled project in, I want to say, like 2011, 2012 or some shit. That was, like, I think the craziest thing in the world. Then you see Drake kind of did the same thing with If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. We've just seen these people kind of be like, okay, fuck a rollout, fuck the promotion, here's the music. You can't do that if you're not Drake or Beyonce, probably.
Yeah.
But it is cool to see those type of moments. The fucking Kanye Life of Pablo shit is probably my favorite ever, bro. Because I just remember like watching the live streams,
yeah,
hearing Ultralight Beam for the first time and shit like that. And you're like, what, but like, over like shitty audio quality, which almost made it feel like more special.
Yeah.
That shit is really, really
I mean, dope. I think about somebody that I think does the same thing as Kanye, but a lot cleaner. There's a lot less headlines and drama, which, you know, is probably good for a rollout, but just from like a pure sense is Tyler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think about the different eras and how clear it is when he goes into album mode.
Yeah.
And specifically the last two albums, because I remember when Igor started to get rolled out, everyone's like, what the fuck is this? You know, what is he doing with this wig on? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. I really am thinking, because now I'm thinking with even on the early shit, how he would put, it was at the end of the Tamale music video, I want to say, then you had like the cut of Beamer at the end of it, but you only get like the first 30 seconds of the song and then it just fades to black. Wolf coming out this date, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tyler's mm-hmm. been cold at rollouts and I think it's just gotten more eyes on it as it's kind of leveled up.
And think
What's
about,
your name?
Think about the first Call Me If You Get Lost videos. What's your name? And he was dropping like the track numbers,
yeah,
right? And but he wasn't like giving, he didn't give away like the Young Boy feature. He didn't give too much, but it was very clear from the first video. This is a worldwide travel album. Mm-hmm. The new aesthetic was very apparent in every video. He is the perfect example.
Yeah.
For a lot of this music yeah. shit, bro, if you mm-hmm. want to be like a true artist and super successful, to me, like, Tyler really is that blueprint.
He's called someone who's maybe not the blueprint for how you want to live your life. NBA Youngboy. Because we kind of brought him up on the song. He had maybe the craziest quote I've seen in a very, very long time. I just kind of want to talk about. This nigga said he's not big on fatherhood with about 10 yeah. kids.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say something like that? Can you? Is that even allowed? Why would you say that?
We're definitely in an era of just saying whatever's on your mind.
Yeah.
That should never be on your mind.
No, I know. And it's terrible. It's super terrible.
That's your child. That's your children. Stop having kids.
Yeah, like think about having like being his kid and seeing that quote.
And isn't his whole thing having like an STD too? It's like, bro, you gotta stop.
I don't think that's his whole thing.
He got like, you can't be fucking, bro. This nigga is a problem, bro. Someone need to. Every time I hear Youngboy talk, that so he's been obviously doing more interviews. He had Gillian Wallow interviewed him, pulled up to Utah. And he just decided to walk around with his dog around a mountain for 30 minutes. Then Bootleg Kev comes through, and he actually got in the house this time, which was cool. Youngboy proceeded to do things like stand up in the middle of the interview, be like, Ma, can I smoke in here? And light up a cigarette.
didn't he walk out of that one, or am I thinking of someone else that walked out on Bootleg Kev?
That's ESTG.
Oh, that was the STG.
Yeah. G-ski. Yeah, I don't know. Youngboy.
Youngboy interviews are awful, bro.
Yeah,
they're so awful. And he always is like whispering in the mic, bro. Like, you can never really hear him.
But he's emo.
He definitely shows you where his mental state is at, though.
It's deteriorating.
In every single one. And I feel like we as consumers and just like people that are just watching are like, yo, what are these quotes? But I feel like the guy probably needs help. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Then get help.
He would probably admit that to you too.
Then get help.
It's hard to, you know, you need people to slap some sense in.
But I don't think anyone's trying to help him. I think we're just trying to put the cameras on him and just, you know, get the quotes, you know, and all that shit. I think he's also coming out with a project too. So he's probably on his yay where he's just kind of like, I'm going to just do this interview and I'm going to just do this and whatever comes from it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think he necessarily, not that he doesn't care how he's perceived, but he's like, I need to be visible right now.
And you know, it's he can't get into too much trouble on house arrest.
Fatherhood quote is crazy though.
Fatherhood.
We need to actually touch on that. Like, bro, that's an insane quote.
Just be a dad. A lot of people need to hear that. Just, you know, if you're not ready to have a kid, maybe don't have a kid. You've seen how Anthony Edwards handled it. Maybe not ideal, but hey, he said I can't do this right now. Like, yo, young niggas with money making subpar decisions. I don't know.
Bro, people with money or without money.
Yeah, that's even worse. That's even nastier,
the
yo.
Same decision.
Because these niggas at least can pay the child support bill. If you can't, like, you really gotta question where your priorities are at. You know what I mean? But hey, none of us are fathers, so shouts out to that. I guess.
That's why you should take our advice.
Yeah, not gonna, you know. For surely. Some other shit that happened this week. We found Jews crawling underground.
Yo.
What? That's exactly what the situation was.
No, you're right. But
that's exactly what the situation was. Jewish Underground Railroad. You know what I mean? We had it. They had it.
I was trying to get to
it. What is the phrasing of that?
The Hasidic Jews in New York had a tunnel that was discovered under one of the synagogues. Mm-hmm. To be just very frank, I ain't researched much about the shit. It was just crazy to see the images about it. Does anyone know what's going on?
Someone sent me a video. I didn't know that was going viral. I just was like, oh, this is just like, he's sending me a meme, maybe. And then we talked about it earlier, and I was like, oh, this is an actual thing online. People are questioning it. But to me, it's like the aliens. It's like, bro, like, why are we hyper fixated on these random ass topics?
It's not, because it's not random. It's crazy.
I literally don't care.
People have tunnels underground. I mean, if I saw a nigga popping up. Bro, I'm in New York. Walking here, you know what I mean, doing all the standard shit. I'm going to get my bev from the deli, and I see a full ass Hasidic Jew hat and all pop up out the gutter. I'm tripping, bro. No. That's crazy.
No, you know what you're doing. You're gonna keep walking and minding your business.
Swear to God, I'm not.
That's New York.
Swear to God,
that's
I'm
literally
not.
New York City.
I am looking at. I'm asking so New many York questions. City.
Bro, there's random shit happens there like that all the time.
I mean, I think it's getting picked up for. There's two reasons. Or there's more than that. But two reasons that I'm seeing that are interesting is A, the dude that we talked about that months ago tweeted that he was hearing like Yiddish underneath his floorboards, and everyone's like, oh, you're being anti-Semitic. Like, fuck you. And then this comes out, and it turns out he lives in the same area as these Jewish underground tunnels.
He said, no, I swear. Guys, no beef. No beef, but I swear they're under here.
Yeah. He's like, damn, y'all owe me an apology.
I hear families. There's families under here, bro.
Bro. And then the other commentary that I'm seeing online, it's a little less funny, is like, yo, like, what if these tunnels were under a mosque? Like, how would the narrative be different?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, why aren't we hearing more about this? Obviously, it was a big thing. There was, like, NYPD there. I think a lot of people, and like, the stained mattresses that are being pulled out, that, look, that's another thing, is there's, like, a lot of stained mattresses in these tunnels. Mm. So I think a lot of people are speculating that there's some shiesty shit going on, and bodies are being carried on these stained mattresses, and that it's getting swept under the rug because of some ties between the New York, you know, city government and the Orthodox Jewish community.
Yeah.
That is all speculation.
I've heard a lot of speculation.
That's just a little bit of the chatter that I've been seeing on Twitter, which obviously is not a reliable resource.
Is this like, it's Twitter. It's not like dark web.
No.
No. It's just Twitter speculation, but it does raise good questions. Why it's like, what are these tunnels being used for?
Across the street from a children's Chabad center, there's a lot of wild shit going on.
It's like, why are these mattresses stained? Like, what? Like, I think people want a little more information so they don't have to jump to these conclusions.
My favorite was just the NYPD, the Italian officer that's like, in his accent, like, I'm shutting off all the entrances to the shul. We're done here. We can't do, like, everyone back away. Do not. It's because everyone just wants to see what the fuck is going on, bro.
Also, the reaction from that community, like in the videos, like them, like, fighting the officers and, like.
Oh, that was a wild video.
You know, it's like, lie. It's like, why, like, it raises some questions.
It's, I mean, yeah, it's an interesting community. They're very, they keep everything very tight knit. You know what I mean? They have their places in New York, especially because that's kind of like a hotbed of where their culture is. And they keep everything very insulated. You know what I mean? A lot of them are only speaking Yiddish. A lot of them have been there for generations. So it's a lot going on that we don't know about them. But this is our first look into the situation. I'm sure that they probably didn't want this to be how everything got exposed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope no weird shit's going on.
Me too.
Yeah. But would you go in the tunnels? Would you explore the tunnels?
Hell yeah, I love tunnels.
I hate tunnels are scary.
I love tunnels and I love caves.
I'm not going to no tunnels.
Yeah, because you know someone popping out. You know they got some niggas up in there that is like guarding. Oh, hell nah. Bro.
I mean, are you... Someone pops out in one of them hats.
You know what I mean?
Yiddish, bro, I don't know
just,
if I'm...
Just freaking out, bro? Nah, I'm not with it. I'm straight. That sounds boom, kind of bro. Funny. Leave me the fuck alone.
I don't know if I can be scared of someone in one of those hats. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Another New York legend has caught a little bit of controversy this week, too. Kai Cenat.
Yeah.
Niggas is hating on his commentary on the Lil Nas X situation.
Can we back this up and start with Lil Nas X?
I don't want to back anything up.
Nice. Nice. That's a good one. let's talk about that video before we talk about the reception. Because Osain, I just watched the video for the first time inside.
Jay Christ?
Coming back like Jay Christ?
Yeah, I kind of like that line. I'm not going to lie.
I do too,
that's
bro.
That's kind of a fire bar.
You're crazy. I hate that this nigga is really trying to hoop in a video. Really like focusing on the Jesus crossing over the devil. The song's ass. I'll start there.
The song's bad, but yeah. I've never been a fan of his music.
Yeah, but the song is extra ass.
I do think Lil Nas X's time. Yo, I'm always talking about someone's time is up.
Rewind.
Lil Nas X is finished.
Yeah,
he's done. Cause like, why is he doing this? You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously his name is already big. He's already a pop star. Like, he's just doing this to get attention, and it's very obvious.
Is his name big still? I mean, I guess he has a huge following.
He's a huge following.
Guys, are we going to pretend
he doesn't need
like,
to do this?
Though. Are we going
to
pretend like he was ever anything besides shock value? I don't really like Old Town Road.
Is that shock value? Bro, the first EP was good. I'm not going to lie.
Let me see the track list on
the first EP.
The first EP
was good.
Seven?
I mean, yeah, it starts off.
Really. Oh, hey, Panini.
You say,
don't you be
that's
a
what
meanie.
I'm saying. This is a good song.
Miles, you have this saved, so don't hate. Don't hate.
It's fine. Yeah, it's saved on his computer.
This is the Stereo Vision Spotify account. Let's stop right there. Hold on.
this was good, entertaining pop music. Like, it wasn't anything crazy.
No,
it was a good follow-up to Old Town Road.
You're right.
Who is he? Who is this guy?
And that's the real question.
Who the fuck is this guy?
There's no identity besides... Somebody that comes out for shock value and does all this shit, and then also what?
You saying he came out for shock value?
That's crazy. That is not what I meant.
Wow, bro.
That is.
You don't think he's gay?
God.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I say gay?
You know what? Bro. You know what's funny is I didn't even realize that I said that shit. And you know the clips. They're going to clip that shit and be like, oh, no.
Yo. No, same from the Stereo Vision podcast. Canceled.
No, I just mean he comes out for shock value in terms of just like, he'll like just do random shit like this and do the devil shit. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's just, the music isn't there. And that's why he's doing all this.
Was this video really offensive though? Like, he crossed over the devil?
It was offensive.
And I think even.
He's mocking Jesus and Christianity.
And I don't even know if the video is the most offensive part. It was like the promotion, like when he was eating the like communion crackers and drinking all the
that was wild. That's wild. And I don't think there's many other religions that would really tolerate that type of
That's where I kind of think it's funny, because it's like, tolerate, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? Like, even if everyone has beef with it, like, we're not gonna go beat the nigga up, like, you know what I mean? Like, but it is okay to just be like, I'm not gonna fuck with it.
I do think his music videos are well done though, I think.
Bro, because he's a huge budget, you know what I mean? This is a Columbia signed artist, you know what I mean? He's one of their bigger acts. And like, all of that is, we're aware of that, but like, when does it be? I don't think it's about the music. I think that he has become someone who's chasing, like you said, moments, controversy. Mm-hmm. Attention. He wants people talking about him, but the quality of the actual songs is not there. It's really, really not. And you could almost get away, because Doja, you know what I mean? She had all the same bullshit. She had all the same people who were like, what's wrong with this? But when it came out and it's like, yeah, we may not agree with how you did this, but you clearly weren't just doing it to do it. You were trying to get more eyes on the music.
Yeah.
You put time into this music. It's like, you know, it felt like you could kind of let it go. You could excuse it. And this is just antics.
And those videos were fire. This video was a spoof. Was funny, no, a mockery.
I agree.
It was funny.
It was funny. But you bring up a really interesting point about mocking Christianity. Like, it is the only religion that would tolerate it. And I think that's because of the history of Christianity and some of the, you know, the little shoot-offs of Christianity. Like, you have the shit in the Catholic Church with priests being weird. Mm-hmm. You have the Crusades a long time ago of waging a war on people in the name of God, because it's promised land. And like, I'm not going to act like that doesn't all, like, other religions don't have their shit too. But like, how do we feel about that? Because it does seem like people can get away with that. You know what I mean? Like I was walking with this little dog we're watching, and we walked by the manger scene, and we're like, oh, should we put this dog in the manger, like, in place of
crazy.
Jesus? And I was like, ah. And then I was like, well, actually, no, that seems disrespectful. If this was like a Jewish synagogue or like a mosque, like, I would never ever think about something like that. Like, why do we feel okay doing that with Christianity?
Because it's a majority religion here. So I think oftentimes, like, when you've grown up in that and you feel familiar with that culture, you're like, I'm mocking my own culture technically. Whereas opposed, it's like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to just go into someone else's shit and make fun of it, because then that's offensive. But if someone were to come at you for that, it's like, no, I know this. I've done this. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Yeah. You just don't. I think you. But taking that further, even if you don't agree with it, right? Say you're knowledgeable about it, good and bad, whatever, have formed your own opinion on it. I think it's a respect thing. So it's like, I may not agree with it. I may think I could joke about it, but you have to, other people may get offensive with it. You know what I mean? Or offended by it. So like, just leave it alone.
You know what I would like
to see?
You know
what I mean?
From Lil Nas X though. I'd like to see him transition to movies. Cause I'm thinking about it, and this music video reminded me of like maybe like an early 2000s movie. Like I feel like, you know, like how like Will Ferrell and like all them were just doing dumb shit. Like bro,
yeah, it's like Marlon Wayans.
If you ever seen an early 2000s movie, like they are wild and they make fun of Christianity all the time. They I need actual examples, but they be dressing up like Jesus and doing all.
I mean,
there's
like the whole like Book of Mormon play. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's a good idea.
He got a really creative mind. I think he should. I would like to see him in Hollywood.
Yeah,
over what he's doing right now.
Because I guess people do like him, I think, for him, not for the music. So,
exactly.
Like, maybe that is the right route for him.
Exactly. But at the same time, I'm thinking how it started, bro. Do you think it's fair that then someone like Kai has been getting a lot of backlash for how he felt about the music video and kind of speaking on that?
Yeah, I mean, his rant, felt a little charged. To me, it didn't really feel like it was just because Lil Nas X was... I don't know. It seemed like there was like a personal issue there. And I think that's why a lot of people are getting mad at Kai. It didn't seem like...
It didn't feel personal to me.
It didn't?
No, because he doesn't know the nigga. How could it be personal? You
I think
know what
he,
I mean?
He overdid it, though.
He overdid it.
How? I think you
Why are you screaming at someone?
Because I think that's probably something that he holds dear. Yeah. That's probably something that's, I think, and he's kind of spoken to that. I think a lot of them in that group have actually spoken to that. You know what I mean? Agents, Muslim, you know what I mean? All the other ones, they all literally say, like, I read the Bible, you know what I mean? And all their GQ 10 essential things, I think they've all talked about God. So that's something that's important to them. I think that Kai is a human the same way Lil Nas X is a human. So if you're going to put this out into the world and make this a thing, I think people are allowed to comment on shit however they want to. And if Lil Nas X doesn't believe in God or any of that shit, then Kai saying God is going to deal with you shouldn't matter to him. And I don't think Lil Nas X particularly cares about the Kai rant. I think it's little fans and woke people on Twitter that want to be like, oh, wow, you can't say... Like, niggas can say whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, it's everything in between, because, like, honestly, at the end of the day, Kai's promoting Lil Nas X's video in a way. He's bringing attention to it. I probably wouldn't have watched it today if I didn't see that,
you know?
Cause I don't really particularly care about this.
I think a lot of the criticism I'm seeing, and I don't think it's necessarily fair, is that, like, okay, if you don't, you know, you have people on your stream, you have the little kid, you know, that's rapping about fucking guns and shooting and shit on your stream, you're promoting all this shit that is like actually maybe bad and destructive to culture. Why are you gonna turn the switch on and flip out about some imagery? I don't think that's necessarily a fair criticism to take, because you should be able to protect things that you hold dear, even if you aren't a perfect person.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit of merit. Like, I do feel some kind of way. This is my biggest problem with the whole people getting offended over religion and stuff. It's like, let's put all this energy into shit that is concretely affecting everyone. Nobody knows what happens after we die. Yeah. You know, like, defend it. Have your faith. Faith is important. It's good. But maybe a little bit more focus on things that are actually affecting us as a culture and a species right now.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's that would make... People don't want to actually do that.
I know.
Actionable
I know.
Change. You know what I mean?
I know.
Real conversations. You know what I mean? It's not... That's...
Let's just freak out at the guy dressing up as Jesus,
you know, and
instead
that's,
of like freaking out.
But I do want to say, to Miles's point, and like in defense of Kai, like when Lil RT was on his stream, like he was telling him like not to do the things he was doing, and he even prayed with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you wanted to point back to Kai being religious, there's probably multiple times on stream,
definitely,
when he has like referenced God and when he has prayed. I don't think it's fair to take that away from him just because, you know, there might be like... I don't know. I feel
because
like
he has a group of females moaning on his stream.
Yeah, I think the rant was a little OD, but at the same time, I don't think I think I see a lot of people saying, oh, he's religious all of a sudden. I don't think that's fair
either. Yeah, I don't either.
I think he's been that. I think you just got to remember on both sides of it. These are both individuals. These are both people. You know what I mean? You just let them do whatever's personal to them, whatever they want to do, comment on it however, and just leave it alone. I don't think either of them are like the worst fucking human beings in the world. You know what I mean? Nobody's perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone maybe doesn't say things exactly how they want it to come off. You know what I mean?
It's everybody just, has those days.
All right, Hannah Montana. But yeah, it was. It's just interesting to see. Niggas love to hate him. Niggas love to hate Kai, yeah, bro.
I mean, they love to hate Nas more.
Do they really hate him?
Yes.
I haven't heard. Other than Kai, I haven't seen any backlash for this. Because I don't think anyone's surprised.
Nobody's surprised.
You know what I mean?
But I just mean over the years.
It's kind of wearing off, like the shock.
Yeah, I'm completely numb to it.
It's like, bro, okay, cool.
I literally, like, when I've seen all this, like, you know what I mean? I don't necessarily support it. You know what I mean? I don't fuck with it. But I think I was probably more riled up and questioning shit and wanting to look into it more when I saw, like, the 666 Nikes he made with blood in them. And then that was three years ago. Ridiculous. You know what I mean? So at this point in time, like, this nigga was twerking on the devil, bro. Like, I'm, you know, he's, this is his bag, bro. This is this nigga's bag, but and I'm just not gonna do nothing.
I don't know if I could respect it as a bag.
But I have never respected the nigga at all. But, like, you could do your thing on your end of the world, and I'm gonna do my thing, and I am not gonna.
There was definitely a time where I was like, yo, I'm actually rooting for, like, what he's doing. Like, I'm fucking with the music. I'm fucking with, like, what he's doing. And then at that, when that happened, I was like, what? You didn't like the music?
No.
You didn't like Old Town Road, bro?
No. No, I did not like Old Town Road.
You didn't play that song?
That's no.
Cap. That's cap that you didn't play that song.
On God. Why would I press play on that song?
I don't know, bro. What,
when would I sit in my car and be like, yep, Old Town Road today?
Yeah, no, shit, I never slapped Old Town Road.
That
shit
took over the world. Nigga shit been whack, bro. The best shit he ever did was Industry Baby.
Old Town Road was a big song.
It was a big song because a bunch of this nigga was performing at schools with little kids singing it. You know what I mean? I think children like that song. You know what I mean? And, like, yeah, this is not my bad. Like I said, Industry Baby's a cool song. I'm not mad at that. That beat is tough.
I don't like that song.
You saying that beat is not crazy with the horns? That shit is kind of wild, bro.
Okay, but what he's saying on it is whack.
I'm not slapping it. I'm not slapping either, but I can respect that one at least. You know what I mean? But do your thing, Montero. I got to get this crazy album cover, though.
You know what's crazy? Him and Jack Harlow are, like, the same. They're the same person.
Maybe elaborate more on that?
Yeah, I don't know. Because they both are just leaning into tropes that work rather than being real artists.
I mean,
I think Jack Harlow's trying to be a real artist.
Yeah, I disagree.
I think Jack Harlow's a real artist.
You think Lovin' on Me is not him fully leaning into the I'm a white boy thing?
No, it is, but leaning into being white is different than leaning into twerking on the devil.
Like, I think Jack Harlow has made a lot of serious music and kind of tested the waters. You know what I mean? I think he did come on the Kids and Issue with the pop white guy shit.
Yeah.
That worked. Then he's like, let me try and see if I can sneak some of my old shit back in with Jackman. Didn't work. Oh, so let me go back to what worked because mortgage is due soon. Like, I gotta pay these bills, you know what I mean? But, yo, that nigga's, every time I see that nigga perform, it looks ass.
Jack Harlow?
Yeah. It looks dead. I've only seen a couple clips, but yeah.
The audience or him?
Him. It just doesn't seem very very high energy. But, like, I've only seen it in, like, big situations. Obviously, the Thanksgiving Day performance, and then he performed at some AT&T thing.
Well, because he doesn't want to be this.
I think he does.
That's what I'm saying. He's just leaning into shit that works.
I don't think he wants to be this.
Why?
Because I think he wants to be Jackman.
But he's rapping on this. I know, but
I don't think he wants to be on Vanilla Baby. You know, like, I don't know. Personally, I don't think that's what he wants. I think he had a lot of pressure from people, the label, fans.
Right.
You know, he has financial situations, like you said, you know, where he might need to sell records again.
But it's still drama and canon. Some of the most influential, ear to the streets people ever. You see how that same label has handled Uzi. Like, yeah. I don't think they would force him to do anything that he doesn't want to do. I think, honestly, this is very similar to Drake. Like, I think we forget how much music Drake had before he was what we know. Even before a So Far Gone, there was a lot of mixtapes. Yeah. Like, he had a lot of projects out where he was trying to find his sound. And I think, like, when by the time he broke through, even, people were still like, who the fuck is this corny nigga, bro? Like, singing about love. But you got to keep trying it, keep pushing it more and more until eventually you, like, chisel away and perfect the actual thing that it's supposed to be. Because I think the end goal for Jack is accessible rap music that everybody could get behind with decent bars.
You know what I mean? You're right. You're right.
So we're seeing the still. Or I think Jack Harlow is still in his early stages. I think by the time that nigga 30, maybe he might catch something. And by that time, maybe we might be past it, and we may not understand it. But he could be the biggest nigga in the world because it's number one now again, right? Loving on Me.
I think so.
So it's working. Somebody likes it.
Vanilla Baby.
That should be your anthem, Spencer. I'm so sorry. I gotta come home one day and hear Spencer slapping that or something, bro.
That's not my Spencer.
God, I hate you. Nah, instead we get Griselda Spencer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay. Is anything else happening in news and life that matters? Football. That's always dope.
Not really.
Yeah, it's kind
of
quiet.
It's the beginning of the year still.
Yeah. I kind of had like an industry, kind of music industry question I wanted to ask you guys.
Okay.
If unless you have something else you want to bring up right now.
Nah, or anything.
A friend of mine is an artist.
Before we get into it, who's the most, if you had to rank us all, like, who's the most industry to the least? What are the rankings?
The most industry? I mean, it's got to be Osei as the most industry. Right? Like, I think
we knew that.
I think it's him, and then I think it's probably me, and then you.
Just had to make sure. Just had to make sure. Continue.
We knew that. Yeah. I've always been on that politician shit, you feel me?
Oh yeah, I'd be moving around a little bit.
You feel me?
You feel me?
God, it's catchphrase.
Anyway, I had a friend who is an artist that has a lot of music to put out this year approach me and basically ask, hey, like, I can't do this all on my own. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, how do you recommend finding a manager?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? For a small artist, because I think it's difficult because you always expect the manager to reach out to an artist and want to manage them. But say you're really trying to get your career going in 2024 and you need help. Mm-hmm. None of the homies are really trying to help you like that. Like, how would you guys recommend these artists go about networking and finding somebody that's reliable to kind of manage their career at an early stage?
My answer is not helpful.
What is it?
Make better music?
No, it wasn't going to be that. Because I feel like it's not productive. But I do think, like, your manager is probably going to come to you and is probably already around and trying to help you.
Yeah.
And if they're not there, it's not make better music, but you got to keep going.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you got to keep, like, it's like there has to be something moving for somebody to get involved, because that person getting involved needs to believe in the vision, or at least believe that the vision can profit them eventually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm coming from with it. I don't know, Miles, if you have a different perspective.
I think vocalize it, one. Like, you know what I mean? Because to your point, they might be already around, but they may not know that you don't have management or that you need something. So, like, I don't think it could ever hurt to, like, throw it on your fucking Instagram story. Like, hey, looking to build out my team. You know what I mean? That can't hurt. And then other than that, maybe find artists at the similar level to you and find out who's managing them and shoot them an email with your demos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, especially if you have shit in the tuck. If you have shit in the tuck that you believe in, that's not out, how would anyone know that your next music is going to be your best shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So package it up, put it together in a nice way, formulate a good email, and just send it out to a bunch of people of, like, say you know there's an artist with 5,000 followers that has management that you fuck with how they've been doing things. Go in their bio. They probably have an email. They probably have a manager. Like, you got to do some, like, legwork yourself, but find them, send them an email, and just try. Like, in the byline, say, looking for management. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think that is the biggest thing that I was thinking, is it's like some people I think some people might feel as if, though, since a manager normally finds an artist, it feels thirsty to reach out to managers and be like, manage me, you know? But, like, you have to. If you're looking for somebody to build out your team and nobody's just gravitating towards you, it's either continue being self-managed and maybe find a way to get your shit in front of more industry people. Like maybe for a moment pivot to that direction, you know, really pushing in these industry pockets to get people to help you before you go, you know, directly to consumers with all your stuff. Or like you said, just reach out directly to people that you think would work. And yeah, like give them your demos, give them what you have in the tuck. I think that's good advice.
Just because over the past like year, I've definitely reached out to some artists with no management. And I see how difficult it is to kind of manage manage everything yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a lot. You're going to miss emails. You're going to miss opportunities. You know what I mean? You're going to be working harder, not smarter, you know? So it's,
yeah.
You might, if you have this great music, you got to take a week. 2 weeks even, and like make that your focus.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Because you need
really,
that.
Really try.
Someone of any level. That was another thing. She was like, "Do I even need a manager right now?" You know. And I was like, "I think everyone needs a manager. Somebody to hold them accountable. Somebody to do a lot of the legwork. Mm-hmm. Somebody to just like really be in this with you, because it's so much harder to do things alone."
No,
I think about how many times Stereovision probably would have died if I didn't have you. If we weren't doing this together,
bro.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Fair enough. Like, you definitely need somebody else.
That being said, though, there are, if you decide to go without, there are ways that you can still pick up traction without a manager. And once you get in the right distribution situation, label situation, that'll be the first thing they do.
Yeah.
Like, they will literally, like, have you take some time and vet different managers, set up meetings with people in their internal network. So, if you are just really, really fiending to drop, you have a videographer, you have the social media content that you want to put out ready, you could take that risk. And if something cracks off, you know what I mean, you get an opportunity, then there are other parties who will help you. But yeah,
almost, I feel like, best case scenario. Because yeah, then you jump a step and you immediately get a professional manager and not a homie manager. Not saying that a homie manager isn't better for the long term because it's someone you trust or whatever, but it's going to make shit move a lot faster off rip if you can go right to a professional that doesn't need to learn with you.
You might also need to decide what you actually need. Like, maybe you need a business manager. Maybe you need a day-to-day manager. Like, I think when you're starting off small, like, your needs, even though you might feel like you would like somebody to manage everything, realistically what you need is somebody to take the work away from you that you can't do.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, when you're, I don't know, if you have a show, maybe you're good at booking shows. Maybe you have connections already and people and venues are fucking with you. You're getting on a bunch of showcases, but you're like, bro, I'd rather not just drive myself to every show and then have to drive back like late night type shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like, even if I'm doing that, I'd like someone to accompany me.
Yeah.
That's more of a day-to-day role, and they don't have to do everything for you. They don't have to like go buy your food, schedule your meetings, all this shit, but they can definitely accompany you to shows, and like that could be their role. You know what I'm saying? Or if you're like, yo, I'm bringing in a lot of money right now and I'm just like not good with money and saving and like reallocating, like, what can I do? Maybe you just need like a business manager or an accountant.
Yeah.
And like somebody could do that for you, especially if they're making a little bit of bread off of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think you need to define like what you actually need.
Man, they ain't gonna make no bread off the jump though. Shout out managers, bro. Yeah. That's the hardest shit. Like, from what I've seen, like, yeah, that might be the hardest industry job. Like, it is thankless. It is 24/7. It is forming personal and professional connections constantly. Like, if you're a good manager, shout out to you, bro. I'll say thank you if no one else will, because fuck, bro. You make our jobs a lot easier.
Yeah.
You make the artists' lives a lot easier. I couldn't do it. I could never. Oh, my God. I thought I could for a minute.
Yeah.
I hate emails too much.
Yeah.
I could never.
Yeah, shit. No, it's not
my bag, bro.
Definitely a thankless job.
But yeah, I think that's everything. I think the last thing I want to leave on is, yo, pray for our prize picks. You know what I mean? I'm getting back into it. I need a bag this week.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go all NFL playoffs. I'm back in that mode. I've been only betting basketball. I'll bet football for the playoffs, but let's hope Spencer gets what you got? What you got up? How much can you win off your shit?
I mean, each one is like a $20 4-man line that would pay like over $500.
Oh, let's hope niggas get rich. Let's hope niggas get rich today, bro. Let's hope niggas get really, really rich today. But appreciate y'all for watching, man. Like, share, comment, subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Do it.
Catch y'all next time, man. Peace.
Peace.